Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits Conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. With me today, I have Michael Sicuranza. He's the CEO of Affinity Wealth Management, where he works primarily with small business owners and corporate executives. I have Jackie Zaccoli, who likes to say that's broccoli with a Z. She is Network Builders of Arizona, and she is passionate about bringing people together. And finally, I have Michael Vincent, who likes to go by Vincent, and he is into melting faces and saving oceans, which you totally need to ask him about. But today, we're talking about is what makes a debate healthy or unhealthy. And Vincent, I would love for you to kick us off on this.
Yeah, so I've seen many unhealthy debates because I've been alive for many presidential elections and debates. Mm. But I would really say that what makes it really healthy is when both the debaters have a mutual respect for each other's position and have at least enough open mind to agree when somebody makes a good point. I dislike unhealthy debates. And it's almost one of those things that I've been in logistics for 34 years. And when you talk about break bulk, nobody knows what it is, but they know it when they see it. They can't describe it, but they know it when they see it. And you can feel yourself in an unhealthy debate, but it is generally when there's a lack of respect that makes it unhealthy, and healthy makes it when there is a mutual respect. But I would also say healthy doesn't necessarily mean successful. What is a successful debate or not?
Right? Interesting. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, trust is also an important factor. First time my wife met my family, she thought we were yelling at each other. And I was like, no, that's just the way we talk. We're Italian. But there was that trust factor that was involved along those conversations that you can have with family members or collaborating with other professionals. I think body language is a key sign of when debate starts going south. I tend to be somebody who wears their emotions on their sleeve, and you can see it in my face sometimes, which I'm working on. So body language, I think, is also very key. So trust, body language, and then trying to get it back on track is sometimes you need to recognize those things and take a step back. Maybe apologize if you've overstepped, which is a hard thing for people to do sometimes, especially when they are very passionate about their points.
Mm-hmm. Jackie, what came up for you on this topic?
Well, I think both of you have made some very good points. I agree with all of them. Respect, trust, body language, apologize, all of those make a lot of sense to me. What I hate to see is the blame and shame throughout. I don't think it helps anyone, or the reasons versus results concept. I don't think that helps either. To me, there's no sense in blaming anyone or passing the buck on the victim mentality unless you have a solution. So I am more solution driven. And yes, you're right. Trust is important. But yes, you're right. Respect and honoring that you don't have the only opinion that's out there. And I also like the concept that my brother played ever since we were very small. We have the right to disagree. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that either of us is right. Though my friend Ginger, I love this one. You're going to love this. I am not arguing. I'm just explaining why I'm right.
Yeah, I once said to my mother-in-law,
I'm sorry, I love that.
I'm not hanging up on you. I'm saying goodbye. Exactly.
I love that
Vincent made about being open, because I think that somebody can't be 100% wrong. Like, that's not a thing. I mean, I guess they can, but usually in debates, they're not. And so for me, a debate is healthy if I'm willing to say, hold on, what can I learn about that? Either about what you think about it, and maybe I disagree, or about you, or about, but as soon as I lose the, what can I learn about it? I know we're headed in a bad direction.
Yeah, for sure. And I think especially, right, you need to be able to listen. You know, part of having a conversation or a debate on anything is being able to do two things at once, which is really just being able to listen versus trying to come up with your next quip or your next counter argument, like actually hear what the person's saying.
Yeah, 100%, Mike. I was going to say the same thing. Listening instead of waiting to respond. It comes right off of Jackie's just, you know, I'm not debating. I'm just explaining why I'm right. Those are the people who are just waiting to respond. They're not really listening. Mm-hmm. And that's a lack of respect, and it's a lack of trust that is going on there too, right? You have to go into, you know, unlike a negotiation, you need to be able to walk away from the table. Otherwise, you can't really negotiate, right? If you're not willing to say, forget it and walk away, you're not negotiating. You're just hoping for the best. But I would argue that in a debate, If you're not willing to learn something and maybe back off your stance, it's not going to be a healthy debate. It's just not worth your time.
Mm-hmm. So if you realize that you're in a situation where the conversation is not going well, it is becoming an unhealthy debate, then what?
Flip it.
How?
I make a personal remark about him and then I leave. No, just kidding.
No, you flip it. You flip it. You know, you flip it by something else. People will continue down a path ad nauseum. Mine's worse than yours forever to compete about which is worse. If you flip it to tell me what's better about it or good about it, we can go on a much higher path. We really can if we do that. I think what I hate most, especially in these virtual types of things, even without debating, is people that step on other people's tongues. How many times do you see that when people are, I'm not finished with what I'm saying, and you've already finished my sentence. Will you let me please say the entire thought before you finish it? That isn't really what I was going to say. And I'm with a group of women that they spend their time. Yeah, you're right, but I'm saying, she's not finished with what she's saying. So just the temperature and the mode of operation is something that I try to get around as a leader. Let's wait until the full comments are out before you bring in yours.
Michael, I think you were getting ready to say something when I asked the question. What do you do?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things, right? I think obviously taking a step back, maybe pausing before you speak again. And you know, if it's going down the rabbit hole so poorly, maybe you just need to reset and say, you know what? Maybe this is not the time to have this conversation. Maybe we need to maybe find another time with cooler heads, because clearly you're upset with me and I'm upset with you. Maybe we just need to take a pause, you know, whether it's 5 minutes. Obviously in a presidential debate, you can't do that. But in everyday life, I think a lot of times, we don't take those pauses, and sometimes we might say or do things we ultimately regret if we had just taken a hot minute and just been like, okay, time out.
That's a skill I teach in my conflict resolution books. And when I teach conflict resolution, take a time out. When you recognize it's off the rails, stop for a minute. Yeah, great point. Love that, Mike. Thanks.
You know, sometimes, and that's a great point, Mike, but sometimes I go a little bit step further and I find it's helpful to offer some type of concession. Find something to where you can say, you know what, Mike, I see your point here and here, but think about this for a moment, you know, and it kind of takes them off their guard a little bit and kind of cools that head down because, and you're exactly right, Jackie, people will die on the silliest hills. And I'm one of them when I get into a debate, because I do love to debate or argue, however you want to call it. I like to argue points. And many times, if it was just Michael and I, or just Dr. Robin and I, or myself and you, just the two of us, I might take the opposite of what I believe just to see where we can take the argument, just to see where it goes, just for the heck of it. Because I firmly believe that two people in a room that agree, one of them is superfluous. Especially in a debate. So, but anyways, offer some type of concession and kind of back out. What do you actually, where can you actually back off this inflaming aggression, right?
I definitely have gotten, as I've gotten older, I've gotten better at just saying, you know what, this is not a hill I want to die on. It doesn't matter. And I think that's something that, you know, in presidential debates, it's all about winning. In real life, that's not the point of a conversation. You're not trying to win it. You're trying to learn. You're trying to understand. You're trying to get somewhere. And I think that we would all do well to kind of take that pause.
Absolutely.
But how? How does that work?
Wow. Yeah. What I teach my kids, sometimes you've got to be the bigger person.
You have to notice.
I mean, you have to notice there's a self-aware that maybe you're helping to cause this to happen. You want to teach this person. Are you actually willing to learn from them? And to get past that, sometimes you have to be the one that takes the deep breath, as Michael said, maybe step back for a moment. But it doesn't necessarily mean we have to walk away and go to our rooms. Sometimes it absolutely does mean that as adults. But sometimes it needs to mean, you know what, Michael, we can play G.I. Joes for a minute, but then we're going to go swimming afterwards, right? Let's do that. Some type of concession to make something happen, right? I mean, to take it down to kids' terms in very simple terms, that's kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah, I love it. Thanks so much. This has been our 10 minutes, and I appreciate having this conversation with you. It's been a lot of fun. I look forward to speaking to each of you again very soon.